الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In our previous class we're reading the chapter the author he mentioned باب البذائي والفحش, the chapter with regards to indecency and vulgarness, meaning with regards to the statements and the actions, but here in this chapter specifically with regards to the statements and speaking in a foul manner and about issues that are not befitting and speaking in a manner that is rude and harsh and speaking in a manner that is foul and vulgar and indecent. And we have seen that this is not from the traits of the righteous, and it's not from the traits of those who have perfected their faith and those who are upright and obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, this state here of finding fault with others and backbiting them or belittling them or speaking ill of them or speaking about foul and filthy subjects and topics or in foul and filthy manners or in choice of words and the likes like this, these are all signs of weak faith. These are all signs of weak faith. And these are also a means to earn the anger of Allah Azza wa Jal and for Allah to detest a person and to be angry with him because of his tongue. And this has proceeded in the previous class. And we see the contrast of this affair with the rest of the narrations that the author he mentioned, and the narration particularly with regards to noble manners and the good manners, and that they are the heaviest thing for a believer in his scale on the day of resurrection, the heaviest deeds that he will have with him in his scale on the day of resurrection are his noble and good manners. And this is all encompassing in all aspects of the religion, the deen, adin kulluhu adib wa akhlaq. And the religion is all of it is manners and etiquettes with Allah Azza wa Jal and with His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and etiquettes after that with the creation and the people accordingly, and giving Allah His rights and likewise the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam His rights, and then the rest of mankind accordingly, giving them their rights that Allah has bestowed upon them and granted them. In this manner, a believer, he will have noble manners. He will have upright and good conduct in his actions and in his speech. And this is proceeding from his noble and his correct and sound creed and belief. So the one that has the foul manners, this is from a weakness in his faith. This is from a weakness in his faith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا أَوْ أَحْسَنُهُمْ قُلُقًا, that the believers, those who have the most complete faith, they're the ones who have the best manners. وَكَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, the direct relationship, the point is, with noble manners and conduct and dealings, and he related to the issue of al-Iman, the issue of al-Iman. So this fuhsh on the tongue, and this bada'a on the tongue, and this vulgarness and indecency, this is contrary to faith, and it's not the attribute of a believer. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned in the narrations that have preceded. After this, the author, he clarified the trait of a believer, and that is that he is described with al-rifq. And it's beautiful how he's mentioning this affair here with regards to the tongue. And with regards to the tongue, in contrast to indecency and vulgarness. And al-rifq, it is al-lin wa-suhula wa-ta'anni fil-umur. وَتَمَهُّلْ فِيهَا, and that a person, he will be lenient and he will be easy and he will be soft and he will be gentle in his affairs and he will not be hasty. This is al-rifq. This is what rifq means, to be like this. And the opposite of that is al-unf wa-shiddah, to be harsh and to be rude, to be mean and to be forceful. And the one who has a tongue in this manner, he will have a tongue that will lash the people. He will move quickly with his tongue, and he will lash the people with his tongue, or with his tone, and with his speech, and with his words. And this is contrary to al-rifq, and this is contrary to al-rifq. And the narrations that the author, he mentioned from the last of them, the narration of Jarir radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man yuhramu rifqa yuhramu al-khayra kullahu, that whoever is prohibited from having this gentleness and from having this leniency and kindness and from not being hasty, then he will be prohibited from all of the good. All of the good. Yani all of the good. He will be prohibited from that. He will not be able to obtain it. He will not be able to obtain it because he does not have rifq. Because he does not have gentleness. He does not have leniency. He does not have any of the ability to control his soul and to think and to recollect and to take it easy. And to not be hasty in his affairs, in his tongue, and in his actions. So therefore, the good will miss him, and he will not obtain it. He will not obtain it. On the contrary, what is understood from that? The one that has accustomed himself to this trait of being gentle and being courteous and being kind and taking it easy and being lenient with the people, yani in speech and in conduct and action, and not being hasty, then this person, he will obtain much good. He will obtain much good in his dealings, yani in his life. From Allah Azza wa Jal first and foremost, because Allah, he is rafiqun yuhibbu rifq. Because Allah, he himself is ar-rafiq, and he loves rifq. And he gives and he provides because of this rifq, that which he does not provide based upon harshness and rudeness and sharpness of the tongue and the likes. An example that we have in this is in our noble Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with regards to the importance of rifq, and also with regards to the issue of the tongue, and also with regards to cultivating and raising the family. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith is muttafaqun alayhi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed by some Jews passed by him, and he's with his wife Aisha radiallahu anha. And the Jews, said to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, assamu alayka. Assamu alayka. Assam yani al-maut. They try to make it sound like they're giving salam. They're trying to make it sound like as if they're giving salam. Assalamu alayka. But they didn't say assalamu. Rather, they said assamu. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she caught on to this. The Prophet likewise, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he caught on to this. And this is from the filthy way of the Jews, that they did this to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his face, trying to be slick like this. and they dropped the lamb. Instead of saying assalamu, they said assamu. Assam yani al-maut. Assam yani al-maut. Yani may you die. Yani they're saying that they hope you'll die like this. May death come to you. This is what they had mentioned, but they're trying to say it in a manner as if they're giving salam and being courteous and coming in peace, but they're treacherous in this manner. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, wa alaykum, and he was silent. He didn't increase. He didn't add to what they said. He didn't stop them and say, what did you say? He didn't check them. Rather, he said, wa alaykum, and he kept going. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she heard them, and she said, wa alaykum assam wa la'na, and may death and the curse be upon you. In one narration, wa alaykum wa la'anakum Allah wa ghadiba Allahu alaykum. Like this, she became very angry, and she responded to them in this manner, and she said, and may death be upon you, and may Allah curse you, and may the anger of Allah befall you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told her, mahlan mahlan ya Aisha, take it easy Aisha, inna Allaha yuhibbu rifqa fil amri kullihi. Verily Allah, he loves gentleness in all of the affairs. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, did you not hear what they said? O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you did not hear what they said. He said, yes, but did you not hear what I said? I said alaykum, wa alaykum, like this. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in some wordings, he said, what do you think about Allah azza wa jal answering my supplication against them and not answering their supplication against me? Like this. And then also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to her in other narrations, likewise in Bukhari and in Muslim, alayki birrifqi wa riyaki wa thunfi wa fuhsh. Oh Aisha, you have to be courteous, you have to be kind, you have to be gentle, you have to take it easy. Don't be hasty. Alayki birrifq. Like this, you have to have rifq. Wa iyaki wa thunf wa fuhsh. And you have to be cautious and beware of and stay away from and avoid entirely harshness and rudeness. And vulgarness and indecency. And vulgarness and indecency. So here, even at this time, whenever the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being taken in this manner, and these people are speaking ill like this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he marru kirama. يعني وإذا خاطبهم الجاهلون قالوا سلاما. He said the exact application of this word, and of these verses. And we see how now this is a beautiful example of the statement of Aisha radiallahu anha whenever she's asked about the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. كان خلقه القرآن كان خلق نبيكم القرآن. The manners of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were the Quran. يعني أنه يمتثل بأوامره وينتهي عن نواهيه. Meaning that he will comply to the commandments in the Quran and he will stay away from the prohibitions in the Quran. Meaning he will apply it. So here, for example, the verse of Ibad al-Rahman, whenever they pass by the ignorant people, speaking ignorant to them, they say to them words that they are safe from sin with regards to. He didn't respond back, cursing them or adding onto them or responding to their ignorance with ignorance. Rather, he said, wa alaykum. And he kept going in this manner like this. And this is the beautiful example. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here he's teaching his wife and he's cultivating her upon the affair of rifq and also the affair of guarding the tongue. وَإِيَّكِ وَالْعُنْفِ يعني بِلِسَانِكِ يعني بِلِسَانِكِ وَالْفُحْشِ عَلَى لِسَانِكِ be cautious, be aware of, stay away from Aisha radiallahu anha, from this harshness and this rudeness and from this vulgarness and indecency يعني on the tongue. So here again it's important to cultivate oneself upon this first and foremost, and then likewise the family. And we see how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he redirected the affair, and he told her, "You didn't hear what I said?" And he said, "Don't be like them. Don't respond to the ignorant with ignorance. I said, wa alaykum. This is enough. This is enough." So this is, very important for a believer to understand and to strive to have this trait, this attribute of rifq, and to be described with rifq, and be from those who are gentle, and those who are courteous and kind, and those who are lenient, and those who reflect, and they think before they speak and before they act. They're not reckless with their tongue, and they're not harsh with their tongue, and their tongue is not lashing the people with the words, nor with the tone, and the likes like this. Rather, this is contrary to faith and iman, and this is not the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when a believer, he hears these affairs, and then he remembers these issues, and whenever he's tried in these circumstances, he will check himself, and he will check his tongue. And if he slipped, he will seek forgiveness from Allah, and he will strive to rectify his soul, and to be from those who have the manner of, or the conduct of, arrifq. Arrifq wa suhula wa leen, and that he will be kind and courteous, and the likes. With regards to the issue of arrifq, there are a number of benefits from them. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in his book Al-Adab al-Mufrad. He has a chapter called arrifq. It's all about this affair of gentleness and kindness and leniency and not being hasty and the likes. And in this chapter he mentioned many of the narrations that we have been discussing here about the affair and more. But from them he mentioned a narration also from Aisha radiallahu anha, and this shows the beautiful understanding of al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala with regards to the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He mentioned the narration of Aisha under the chapter of rifq, and she said radiallahu anha that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, aqilu dhawil hayati atharatihim, aqilu dhawil hayati atharatihim. And this is the hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, aqilu min al-iqala. Al-iqala, yani meaning that he will, the al-iqala is to help somebody when they fall, is to help somebody whenever they slip, and also to pardon them, is to pardon them. And if somebody would slip, and they would help them, and they would pardon them. And this is any the linguistic meaning of this word. The wil hayat, the people of knowledge, they mention any ahl al-muru'ah, ahl al-ilmi wa fadl. Yani that you have to help and pardon the people of nobility and honor. The people of nobility and honor. Yani aqilu dhawil hayati atharatihim, yani zallatihim. Their mistakes and their errors and their slips. So Bukhari, he's mentioning this narration under the chapter of rifq, under the chapter of gentleness and not being hasty, and being lenient and the likes like this. And the meaning of the narration is that to pardon and to overlook and to help those people of nobility and honor, those people of knowledge and respect, and the people who have position and authority and the likes in the society, to overlook their mistakes and their slips, to overlook their mistakes and their slips, and this is, and to help them to rectify that, and to help them to rectify that. And this is from Yani Arifq, and from the affairs that are beautiful. And we see that some of the people today, those who have not been cultivated upon this way, upon these books and upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam properly, they do the opposite. If somebody who has authority or position, or somebody who has rank or knowledge or benefit in the community, whenever he slips, they cannot wait to expose him. They'll be the first to expose him and to spread it and to translate it into languages even. And this is a foul way. And this is a foul way. And this is not from arifq, and it's not from an-nasiha. And from the means of helping those people is that one will pull them to the side and speak to them and clarify to them their mistake or their error and the likes like this in a beautiful manner so they can rectify that. And this is a good way. And a nasiha, sincere advice to hope good for them. So this is a beautiful understanding of Al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, that the people of knowledge and the people of position and the people of benefit and the people are that are known for goodness, and they're known for benefiting the people, and they're not known for shar, and they're not known for evil. The people have to bear their slips or their mistakes, or whenever they come out of character or conduct, or they error in a particular area, or in a statement or position and the likes like this, and dealing with them is not like dealing with the rest of the people. Beginning with the ulama, and likewise the umara, the people who have the most authority and command and that deserve honor and respect. And then likewise those under that, from the students of knowledge, and also the people who have other rights as well, from the parents and the likes like this, they're dealt with knowledge and with wisdom and with justice and with rifq whenever they make a mistake or they make an error and the likes like this. And this is from the beautiful understanding of Al-Bukhari, and this is a good way for a believer to cultivate himself upon, to not be hasty, and to guard his tongue, and to think before he speaks, and to reflect before he acts, and to seek the pleasure of Allah in his deeds, to seek the pleasure of Allah in all of his deeds and all of his situations, and to not become involved in the affairs that do not concern him. After this, the author, he says, Babu ma ja'a fil kadhib. Babu ma ja'a fil kadhib. The chapter with regards to that which has come in lying or with lying. The chapter with regards to that which has come about lying. Al kadhib. Kadhiba yakdhibu. Yani kadhiban. Al kadhiban. Al kadhib is to lie. But it's beneficial to know the Arabic language with regards to the words and the usages. Sometimes we will find that the word kadhib is used to refer to someone who made a mistake. You will find sometimes in the narrations, one of the companions will say kadhaba fulan, kadhaba fulan, wallahi kadhaba fulan. But he doesn't mean here, in this particular context, that so-and-so he's lying. But they would use the word kadhaba to refer to meaning akhta'a, akhta'a. And you will find the likes of this in the hadith of the companions, and also in the tabi'een, that one of them would say this about another one. And if a person, he misunderstood the intent, he would consider him calling him a liar. And this is not what is intended. And al-kadhib, in its original meaning, is that somebody will say something that is not in accordance to reality. That's not in accordance to reality. So if somebody said something that's not in accordance to reality, whether he meant it or not, then this is called kadhib. This is called lying linguistically. But generally, whenever kadhib is used, to refer to the one who said it intentionally. And he said something that is not correct, any contrary to reality, intentionally. This is what kadhib is referring to the majority of the time, or whenever we hear it or we think about it. If somebody says so-and-so lied, meaning that he told a lie intentionally. He said something that was untrue, contrary to the reality, and on purpose. But in the Arabic language, sometimes it will be used like this. There are narrations, Ubadah ibn Samit, radiallahu anhu, he heard one of the companions, Abu Muhammad, he was saying something, narrating something, and then whenever it reached Ubadah, radiallahu anhu, he said, kadhaba, kadhaba wallahi Abu Muhammad. Like this, but the people of knowledge, they clarify what he means here, akhta'a, akhta'a. You will find that this is what they're intending. And also from the statements of the tabi'een, they will mention it like this, meaning akhta'a. But here what is being referred to? Al-kadhib, yani lying intentionally. Lying and intentionally. And the opposite of al-kadhib is as-sidq. As-sidq. So again, before discussing the details of these chapters, as Ibn Qayyim he had mentioned before, and in order to be safe from these affairs, in order to be safe from these affairs and to be free from these affairs, a person, he has to know the opposite of them. He has to know the opposite of them, yani, so that he can follow that which is correct. Yani, the opposite of lying is being truthful. So what is the reality of truthfulness? Yani, so that a person, he can avoid kadhib, and he can avoid lying in all aspects and in all realities. So therefore, a believer, he must know what is truthfulness and the realms of truthfulness, and what is it applying to, being honest and being truthful. And this has been defined by Al-Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala. He has a work, yani a summarized version of the tafsir. Not his famous tafsir, but it's another tafsir that he has. It's very brief and summarized. It's called Taysir al-Latif al-Mannan fi khulasati tafsir al-Qur'an. Yani, and this is just one small volume. In the end of this work, he has a chapter where he mentioned terms. Rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a number of terms, and then he defined them. And then he defined them, terms that are used in the Quran. Words like at-taqwa, wa-bir, and words like as-sidq, wa-kadhib, wa-yaqeen, wa-ikhlas, and the likes like this. So here he has defined as-sidq wa-kadhib, as-sidq wa-kadhib, truthfulness and lying. And there are great benefits. And he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, as-sidqu huwa istiwa'u al-zahiri wal-batini ala al-istiqamati ala sirat al-mustaqim. And he made a very concise definition of as-sidq. And the point that As-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala is making here is that sidq is more than just concerning speech. And many times when one thinks about truthfulness, he will automatically think about the tongue and the speech. And no doubt, and this is related to our discussion and the work here. But in reality, truthfulness is greater than that. And as he mentioned, he says, رحمه ta'ala istiwa الظاهر والباطن على الاستقامة على صراط المستقيم. That the inside and the outside of a person, inwardly and outwardly, it would be the same. It would be all upright, outwardly and inwardly. Outwardly and inwardly. He'll be upright upon steadfastness, upon the straight path, in outwardly and inwardly. So this is the definition. He says, huwa istiwa'u al-zahir wal-batin ala al-istiqama ala sirat al-mustaqim. That a person, he will be the same. Al-istiwa, that he will be the same, inwardly and outwardly. That inside and outside, he is steadfast and upright upon the straight path. He is steadfast and upright upon the straight path. So now he mentions some brief details to clarify, beginning with the most important. He said, فَالصِّدْقُ فِي الْأَقَائِدِ أَن تَكُونَ أَقِيدَةُ الْعَبْدِ صَادِقَةً سَلَفِيَّةً مُتَلَقَاةً عَنْ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَمَا كَانَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّحَابَةُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ. So beginning with the first and most important affair of a sidq, and that is to be truthful in creed. As-sidqu fil aqaid, to be truthful in creed and in belief. And he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, and this means, what does it mean to be truthful in creed? To be truthful in creed, in faith, in belief. He says this means that the creed of the slave, the aqidah of a person, it will be truthful, sadiqa, salafiyya, and it will be according to the way of the salaf. It will not be an innovated creed, a creed that is truthful and in accordance with the creed of the salaf, and that it will be derived and taken from the book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and according to that which the companions were upon. If somebody had a creed that was contrary to this, then his creed is not truthful. It's a false creed, even if he believed in it. If his creed was not according to the creed of the pious and righteous predecessors, beginning with the companions, because they're the ones who had the creed of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they're the ones who learned the creed from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, somebody who has a creed contrary to their creed, then his creed is a lie. His creed is a lie and is falsehood, and he will not be accepted. And if it is contrary to the Book of Allah or derived from another source besides the Book of Allah, or besides the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or besides that which the companions were upon, for example, if they derived their creed from dreams, or from whispers and the likes like this, some people they do that. They get their creed and their belief from dreams that they claim come to them, and the likes like this, waliyadu billah, or from other sources, from the statements of the people, contrary to the Quran and to the Sunnah, and to that which the companions were upon, then their creed is false. Their creed is false and it's a lie and it's not true. And they're not truthful in that. The one who's truthful with Allah and his creed and his belief, then he will take it from the sources that Allah has revealed. Then he will take it from the sources that Allah has revealed. And this is the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and those who were entrusted by the decree of Allah to convey that to us, they were the companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum. After this he says, وَالصِّدْقُ فِي الْأَخْلَاقِ وَالصِّدْقُ فِي الْأَخْلَاقِ. Likewise, truthfulness in manners. Somebody has to be truthful in his creed and likewise in his manners. Truthful in his creed and likewise in his manners. He says, أَنْ يَكُونَ الْقَلْبُ مَلْآنَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْإِخْلَاصِ وَالرَّغْبَةِ وَالنَّسِيحَةِ لِعِبَادِ اللَّهِ وَمَحَبَّةِ الْخَيْرِ لَهُمْ. This means that the person's heart will be full of faith. And how could he be truthful and honest in his manners and his conduct? And his manners and conduct and dealings with the people, he said that his heart will be full of sincere faith and purity of intention and desire and hope and sincere advice for the slaves of Allah. Meaning that he will want good for them. Meaning that he will want good for them because of his faith in Allah, because of his belief in Allah. His belief in Allah commands him to hope and to desire good for the people. To hope and to desire good for the people. So this is what is in his heart, that he will love good for others. And he based upon the statement of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who knows the hadith? لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ هَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. That not one of you truly believes until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. So he has in his heart love of goodness for others. He wants goodness for others. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to be diligent even to Quraysh whenever they're harming him. Because he would be diligent with them and calling them and being patient with their harm over and over and over, hoping they would accept Islam because he wanted good for them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would pardon them time after time and over and the likes like this, hoping good for the people, hoping good for the people, even those who opposed him. Even those who opposed him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is the origin of a believer in his heart, and he wants good for the people. And if that's the case, he will deal with them in a good manner. He will deal with them in a good manner, and his manners will be upright with regards to the people, because he hopes good for them. He hopes good for them. He's not trying to deceive them or to trick them or to belittle them or take advantage of them and to use them and the likes like this. And he is hoping good for them like he hopes good for himself. So therefore, being truthful, it's with regards to creed, first and foremost. And likewise, with regards to a person's manners and his conduct, that he deals with the people and that he hopes good for them. And if he can bring that to them, alhamdulillah, and if he cannot, then at least he will not harm them. At least he will not harm them. And if they ask for help from him and he's able to, he will do that according to his ability. And if he's not, he will excuse himself in the best manner and clarify his excuse for them and the likes like this, hoping good for them and hoping that he will not be a means to harm them whatsoever. So this is the case of truthfulness in manners. After this, he says, وَصِدْقُ فِي الْأَقْوَالِ وَصِدْقُ فِي الْأَقْوَالِ. Likewise, a person, he has to be truthful in his statements. And he said, أَنْ يَكُونَ قَائِلًا لِلصِّدْقِ مُصَدِّقًا بِهِ. This means that he has to be someone who says the truth and he has to believe in it. Someone who says the truth and he has to believe in it. This is a very important issue, because truth truly is a person that he will say the truth and then also he will believe in the truth. Because some people, maybe they will say the truth, but they're liars. Some people, maybe they'll say the truth, but they're liars. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about shaitan? Sadaqaka wa huwa kadhub. He told you the truth, but he's a liar. He told you the truth, but he's a liar. And also the hypocrites, they came. وَإِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُهُ وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. And the hypocrites, they came and they bear witness that you're the Messenger of Allah. And Allah, he knows that you are his messenger, and Allah bears witness that the hypocrites, they are liars. So here to say Muhammadur Rasulullah, this is Sidq, this is truth, Haq, this is true. But if a person did not believe that in his heart, he's a liar. He's a liar, even though he said the truth. So therefore, a person, he has to know the truth and say the truth, and then also he has to believe in it. If these issues are not coupled together, it's considered lying. It's considered lying. What do we say about those munafiqun? Those who said that. Allah, he said, وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ, that they're liars. But they said the truth. They said the truth. So the word that they said is truth, but that which is in the heart is a lie. They don't believe in it. They don't believe in it. So therefore, the truth is a statement that one makes on the tongue, and it's in accordance with reality, and it's in accordance with reality, and likewise in his heart, he believes in it. So here he says, الصدق في الأقوال أن يكون قائلا للصدق مصدقا به, that he will be saying the truth and also believing in it. That he'll be saying the truth and also believing in it. So a person, he will say the truth and believe what he's saying. And believe what he's saying. If he said a lie, even if he believed it, it's still not true, right? For example, the one who made a mistake, he said something wrong. Yani, it's still not true, even though he believed in it. And then somebody who said the truth, but he didn't believe in it, he's still a liar. He's still a liar. He's still a liar. So somebody is not going to be considered truthful in his statements until he says the words of truth and he believes in that which he says. And he believes in that truth that he's mentioning there together. واضح؟ الحمد لله. He said, والصدق في الأعمال. Also, there is truthfulness in actions. Truthfulness in actions. And indeed, a person has to be truthful in his deed. And he'll be truthful in his speech, that's clear. And also truthful in the creed, that's clear. And now we see truthful in his manners, and he hopes good for the people. But now truthful in actions. His actions have to be truthful. He has to have sidq in his actions. And the most important and the best and virtuous of all actions, the actions of worship. The actions of worship. The actions of worship. He has to be truthful in his worship. And from the best of the actions of worship, as-salah. As-salah. From the best of the actions of worship, as-salah. From the best of the salah, the obligatory salah, the 5 daily prayers. So now here he's talking about this issue, to be truthful in actions. What does that mean? He says, وَالصِّدْقُ فِي الْأَعْمَالِ أَلِجْتِهَادُ فِي تَكْمِيلِهَا وَإِتْقَانِهَا أَلِجْتِهَادُ فِي تَكْمِيلِهَا وَإِتْقَانِهَا. This means to be truthful in actions, means to strive diligently, sincerely, to complete them in the best manner and to perfect them in the best way. To complete them in the best manner and to perfect them in the best way. And just to make an example, if there was someone, for example, sometimes you ask the children to take out, to clean up the room, for example, make your bed. Sometimes maybe the child, he will go in there and he will just throw the pillow here and then throw the blanket like this and just unroll it a little bit and then run off and play. And because his mind is on playing. the fact that you ask him to do something, this is the great burden for him. So he wants to take care of it as fast as possible. He just goes and throws a blanket on the bed somehow and then puts the pillow somewhere and then he'll run off and play. And then the parent will come and look at the bed and it's as if nobody even made it. You can tell it has been moved a little bit. And then if you ask him, did you make the bed? He'll say, yeah, I made the bed. Is he truthful in his action? No. Or he did? No, he didn't make the bed. He was not in this action here. He was not truthful. He just did it however. He's not truthful in his deed. Similar like this, and he just so that the example is clear, also maybe you ask the child to take out the trash, for example, akramakum Allah. And he'll go out there and he'll throw it by the side and leave the lid open. Maybe some of it will fall on the side and it'll all be left there. And he has no concern for it. He just grabs it and chunks it and throws it, and then he leaves it like this. And then when you go out to check it, it's worse than before. Was he truthful in his deed? No, he didn't do it truthfully. He didn't do it. He didn't put his effort. And if the child is strong, he has the ability. He's able to do it. He knows how to make the bed. He knows how to take out the trash. But he had no concern for it, no care for it. He did it negligently. He was not truthful in performing that action. He's not truthful in performing that action. We understand the point now? You understand the point now? Another example, for example, a person who's working. A person who's working. And he's doing his job. He has to clean up, for example. Whenever the boss is there, he's cleaning spick and span. He's cleaning spick and span, cleaning up everything precisely and very detailed, making everything beautiful and clean and not leaving anything out of place. But whenever his boss is not there, he barely even cleans up anything. He barely even cleans up anything. Is he truthful? Is he truthful in his deed, in his work? No, he's only doing that whenever the boss is watching. When the boss is not watching, he'll sit down and maybe he'll use the phone for 2 or 3 hours and he'll make Facebook and everything else. But whenever the boss is there, he's moving and answering the phone and picking up this one and picking up that one. As soon as the boss is gone, he puts all that down, and he just sits around with no concern, no care. The phone rings, he doesn't answer it. Any people come in the door, he doesn't care. Make him wait. Like this, he has no concern. He's not truthful. He doesn't have sidq fi amalihi. We understand that. Do we get the point we're trying to make now? We go back to ibadah. The best of ibadah, as-salah. So the one who's standing in prayer and his heart is thinking about what he did yesterday, what he'll do tomorrow, is he being truthful? Is he being truthful? No, he's not being truthful. Somebody says, what are you doing? Oh, I'm praying. So, but if you, what did you say? I don't know what I said. He don't know what he said. He don't know what the imam said. He don't know what's going on. So this is the issue here. To be truthful in the actions. To be truthful in the actions. Some people might sometimes misunderstand the difference between ikhlas and between sidq. Between ikhlas and between sidq. What's the difference between ikhlas and sidq? Or are they the same thing? Ikhlas means sincerity. And sidq means truthfulness. Sah? So what's the difference between the two? Or is there a difference? You're close, Nam. Mm-hmm. Ikhlas is in the niyyah. Truthfulness also is in the heart too, in aqaid. But Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, he mentioned a brief statement in Madarij al-Salikin, in the first volume on page 166, and he clarifying the difference. It's very beneficial. And he said that a person, he can be sincere and he can be truthful. Because maybe somebody can be sincere and he's not truthful, or he has a weakness in his truthfulness, because with regards to performing the deed, as Sa'd he mentioned, as sidq fi al-amal, al-ijtihad fi takmiriha wa itqaniha, to strive hard, to be diligent, to complete the action in the best way, and to master it, to do it proper and good, inwardly and outwardly. So Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, al-farq bayna sidq wa al-ikhlas, the difference between truthfulness and sincerity, أَنَّ لِلْعَبْدِ مَطْلُوبًا وَطَلَبًا أَنَّ لِلْعَبْدِ مَطْلُوبًا وَطَلَبًا, that the person, he has مَطْلُوب and طَلَب, he has the thing he's looking after, and he has the means to get it, and he has the means to get it, and he has something he's seeking, and then he himself is seeking it, the path he takes to seek it. We understand that? And مَطْلُوب is from طَلَب, طَلَب يَطْلُبُ, to seek something. So a slave, a person in this life, he has something that he's seeking after. And then he has a way to seek it. His search for that. So he says, فَالْإِخْلَاصُ تَوْحِيدُ مَطْلُوبِهِ. الْإِخْلَاصُ تَوْحِيدُ مَطْلُوبِهِ وَالصِّدْقُ تَوْحِيدُ طَلَبِهِ. الْإِخْلَاصُ is to single out the one who he's seeking. And he's looking for Allah alone. He's searching for Allah alone. He's hoping for Allah alone. He wants the reward from Allah alone. His intention is purity for Allah alone. So Allah is matlub. The matlub is something that somebody is looking for. Something that somebody wants and hopes to obtain. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the matlub of the slave. He is the one that person wants. A person, he wants Allah. He wants the pleasure of Allah, the help of Allah, the aid of Allah, the favor of Allah, the blessing of Allah, for Allah to accept from him. So therefore, al-ikhlas is to make his intention Allah alone and nobody else. That he's trying to reach, what he's trying to get to Allah, nobody else. Like this. As for as-sidq, huwa tawheedu talabihi, is to single out his search for that. Is to single out his search for that, and his means of searching that. So he says, فَالْإِخْلَاصُ أَلَّا يَكُونَ مَا الْمَطْلُوبُ مُنْقَاسِمًا وَصِدْقُ أَلَّا يَكُونُ الْطَلَبُ مُنْقَاسِمًا فَالصِدْقُ بَذْلُ الْجُهْدِ وَالْإِخْلَاصُ إِفْرَادُ الْمَطْلُوبُ. So he said, ikhlas, it is that the one that something, the thing that a person is seeking is not divided. The thing that a person is seeking is not divided. He's not seeking this, and this. Or he's not seeking this and something else. He's not looking for the pleasure of Allah and the pleasure of the people. He's not looking for the praise of Allah and the praise of the people. He's not looking for Jannah and status in this life. He's not mixing this affair up. His intention is not mixed. What he's seeking after is Allah alone and nobody else. So the one he's seeking after the one that he has intended, that he hopes to obtain, is not divided. It's not divided. You understand that? And this is ikhlas, to hope and to desire in Allah alone, and to want the reward and the promise of Allah alone, and the favor from Allah alone, and the blessing from Allah alone, and the praise and acceptance from Allah alone. Nobody else, nothing else. Nothing from the dunya whatsoever. The heart doesn't intend that at all. The heart doesn't intend that. His heart is not divided with regards to what he's hoping for. He's hoping for Allah. So therefore he doesn't show off, and he doesn't do deeds of the hereafter for the dunya. Rather, the one who is truly upon that path, he will start using the deeds of the dunya for Allah. For Allah. And he will turn the regular affairs into means to get what he's seeking, to bring him to his matlub, and into Allah Azza wa Jalla and his pleasure. So as for as-sidq, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, فَأَلَّا يَكُونَ الطَّلَبُ مُقَسِمًا, that his search for that thing will not be divided. And he meaning that, for example, in Salat, he's not saying Allahu Akbar and his heart is thinking about the dunya. And he's not reciting the Fatiha and he's thinking about the job. And he's not saying Subhan Rabbi al-A'la and he's thinking about his wife. And he's not saying Subhan Rabbi al-Azim, but his heart is attached to his children. For example. Because now he's divided. He's saying one thing and he's thinking another thing. So now why is he saying that? يَطْرُبُ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ, because he's seeking for the pleasure of Allah. That's why he's praying. Why is he praying? Because praying is a means to get to the matlub. Praying is a means to get to Allah Azza wa Jal. So then now he's seeking Allah Azza wa Jal. Maybe he's not showing off whatsoever. But then whenever he gets there, heedlessness falls him. And the whispers of shaitan befall him. And attachment to the dunya befall him. And then he leaves the prayer and he has not truly been truthful in his worship and servitude of Allah Azza wa Jal. You understand that? Shaitan will interfere. And that's why we have to strive against him. That's why from the beginning of the recitation, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ مِنْ هَمْزِهِ وَنَفْخِهِ وَنَفْثِهِ, and then reciting the Qur'an, and then going through the affair. So Shaitan, he's not going to stop. He's not going to stop. But Allah Azza wa Jal, he will help you. Allah, he will help you if you seek his help. And if you think about these affairs, and if you take yourself to account, and if you look into your prayer, and you find deficiency, and you say the supplication of Abi Bakr radiallahu anhu, Allahumma inni dhalamtu nafsi dhulman kathira, and you're sincere with this, then Allah, he will forgive you, and Allah will help you, and Allah, he will direct you, and he will rectify you, and he'll make it easy for you, that which you thought was impossible. So this requires effort. That's why Sa'di, what did he say? Al-ijtihadu fi takmiriha. Al-ijtihad, yani mujahadat al-nafs. Al-ijtihad fi takmiriha wa itqaniha. And to strive hard to perfect the worship and to perfect the action and the deed. And so this is the difference between al-ikhlas and sidq. We understand that, the difference between the two? So a person, maybe he is mastering his worship, but he's not sincere. And maybe a person, he is sincere, but he's not mastering his worship. He's not performing the worship properly. And the worship is not truly good, and it means to draw him truly to Allah until he has been sincere and truthful in that, and in the performance of that. So after this, As-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَالْكَذِبُ مَا نَاقَضَ ذَلِكَ كُلَّهُ. A kadhib, lying, is that which is contrary to this, any entirety, to all of this. وَلِذَلِكَ كَانَ أَسِدْقُ وَالْكَذِبُ مُرَاتِبُ. And so based upon this, we see this is why being truthful and also lying or being dishonest is levels. And it's levels and degrees. And not everybody is the same in their truthfulness and their honesty. And not everybody likewise is the same with regards to lying. And some people have a greater portion of these affairs. And some people, they are mixed with regards to them. Some of them have truthfulness and it's pure. And there's no kadhib whatsoever, not in their creed and not in their deed and not in their manners and not in their speech. And others, they have some sidq and they have some kadhib with them. And on the other hand, there are those who have kadhib entirely, waliyadu billah, and no truthfulness whatsoever. And they're the disbelievers, waliyadu billah, and even if they told the truth in their statement, that will not benefit them with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, وَلِذَلِكَ كَانَ الصِّدْقُ وَالْكَذِبُ مُرَاتِبُ. So this is why truthfulness and lying is different degrees. And then he says, وَلَا يَزَالُ الْعَبْدُ يَصْدُقُ وَيَتَحَرَّ الصِّدْقَ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ صِدِّيقًا. وَلَا يَزَالُ الْعَبْدُ يَكْذِبُ وَيَتَحَرَّ الْكَذِبُ حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا. And referring to the hadith that we will study, insha'Allah ta'ala, that a person who will continue to pursue the truth and to follow the truth and to seek the truth and to love the truth and to strive for the truth and to avoid lying until he's written with Allah as the truthful and honest. And likewise, a person who will continue to lie and to pursue lying and to prefer that way until he's written with Allah and considered a liar, truly. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So the issue again here of lying, this is from the traits of the disbelievers. The traits of the disbelievers. And likewise, it's from the traits of the hypocrites. The disbelievers, they're those who lie. And first and foremost, they lie on Allah. They lie on Allah. And they lie on His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَقَالُوا اتَّخَذَ الرَّحْمَنُ وَلَدًا لَقَدَ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدَّا تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ هَدًّا أَنْ دَعَوْا لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدًا وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لِلرَّحْمَنِ أَنْ يَتَّخِذَ وَلَدًا. They claim that Allah, He has a son. They claim that Ar-Rahman, He has a son. This is the worst of all lies. This is from the worst of all lies. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So they are liars and they lie against Allah. And that which they say is written for them. And they will see that. And they will be held accountable for that. And even after this, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي كَفَرَ بِآيَاتِنَا وَقَالَ لَأُوتَيَنَّ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا اطَّلَعَ الْغَيْبَ أَمْ اتَّخَذَ عِنْدَ الرَّحْمَنِ أَهْدًا كَلَّا سَنَكْتُبُ مَا يَقُولُ وَنَمُدُّ لَهُ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ مَدًّا نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And so those people, they're going to be held accountable, those who disbelieve. It's the worst of all lies, to disbelieve in Allah and to belie Him in His right and His tawheed, or to disbelieve in His names and His attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to disbelieve in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to belie him and to call him a liar and to believe to disbelieve in him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the worst of all lies. And after that, to be a hypocrite, likewise from the traits of the hypocrites. And if the author, he is referring to these affairs in the verses that he's mentioning, and he wouldn't have time to read the chapter now. But this is what is being referred to here in these verses about lying on Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The author, he has a chapter specific to lying on Allah, and a chapter specific likewise to lying on the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then after that, mentioning the affairs of hypocrisy, and the number one trait of the hypocrite is that they lie. Of the hypocrites is that they lie, and they say that which with their tongue that which is not in their hearts. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. They say that which is in their tongues and not in their hearts. And likewise, their actions are in accordance with the قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَ يُرَعُونَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. That even in their actions, likewise, Allah described the hypocrites, and that they lie, and they say that which is not true. And likewise, even whenever they perform actions, they're not sincere likewise. From the attributes of the hypocrites, whenever they pray, that they stand to their prayer lazily. That they stand to their prayer lazily. And they are only showing off, so that the people see them, and then they only remember Allah briefly or for a short period. So this is again an example of dishonesty in action, and in the salat specifically. So from the traits of the hypocrites is to stand in the prayer lazily and negligently, and to not remember Allah in their prayer except for a little. So a believer, he will strive against his soul to not have these traits. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And that means that he will be truthful with Allah Azza wa Jal, first and foremost in his shahada, and his shahada and la ilaha illallah, and likewise in his shahada and Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has to be truthful in that. He has to be truthful with Allah, that he truly believes in Allah, and that there's nothing worthy of worship except for him, and that everything that is worshipped besides Allah is falsehood, and there's no doubt about that, and it does not deserve to be worshipped, and it's worshipped in falsehood, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Muhammad ibn Abdullah al-Qurashi al-Hashimi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Rasulullah, he's the messenger of Allah, that Allah, he revealed to him the Qur'an, and the Qur'an is the truth, and the Jannah is the truth, and the fire is the truth, and the punishment in the grave is the truth, and the angels that write our records are true, and we will see our record and it will be handed to us, and we'll be told to read, and we'll meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day that is great, and we'll stand before him subhanahu wa ta'ala. A believer, he believes in these affairs. He's truthful in his creed, and in his belief, and his truthful, and his shahada, and his statement, and this, if it is strong, the truthfulness of this statement in his heart, his sincere faith and belief is strong, then after that, his statements also will be truthful and they'll be good. And likewise, his actions will be truthful and they'll be good. And you will find him striving against his soul to be obedient and to be upright in his creed and his deed. And he will be afraid that it will be said to him, did you do this or did you do that? And he from the foul or the blameworthy ways, and that he would have to say yes. And that he would have to say yes. And he sometimes he will be afraid, subhanAllah, what did the imam recite? And then he will say, wallahi, I don't know. And he, were you paying attention in prayer? Were you awake in the prayer? Or were you thinking about your family and the dunya and the money and the job and the life and the glitter of this world? And he, subhanAllah. So a believer, yani, he will strive against his soul, yani, to be truthful with Allah. That whenever he's asked, did you perform your duties? He will say, yes, I perform my duties. Did you disobey your Lord in any this part here? And he will never want to lie and be a liar. So this is something that a believer strives against, to be truthful with Allah. To be truthful with Allah, this is a condition of the Shahada. As-sidku ma Allahi azza wa jal fil qawli wal amal. To be truthful with Allah in statement and in deed. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.